Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing well. As always, thank you to all of our wonderful patrons over at Patreon who make this possible. If you would like to join, patreon.com/RomaPress. And I don't know why I keep saying it, but the video version of the podcast, youtube.com/@isromapress. And again, thank you all for your support ever since we have started this endeavor with the video version of the podcast. We greatly appreciate your support. If you could also help by doing the subscribe, I have a sticky note I'm looking at right now taped on my computer screen. That's why I'm getting thrown off, Andy, with all the reminders here, at the top of which is a list of things not to say, a couple of swear words being the first of them. Yeah, if you could remember to subscribe, again, youtube.com/@isromapress. Every time I watch a YouTube video, Andy, I hate hearing it, where everyone says like, rate, subscribe, because it goes in one ear out the other. So if you want to do that, you do it now. I'll give you a couple of seconds. But yes, thank you again for all of your support. Even when the people, again, they flame us for something we either say or how we look. And I did find that person who took issue with the blasphemies that I was saying.
Explicit content that was not family friendly.
No, you know, it reminded me of the 90s or in the early 2000s when you would go to the to buy the CDs and you would have the explicit content.
Parental advisory.
Oh, the best.
Parental advisory, yeah. Good times. Now, imagine nobody has a CD player anymore. So,
all right. Before we get started, I just have to tell a very quick personal story because I am flustered right now. Anybody who has family, as you do, Andy, just living in different places, speaking different languages, probably at some point can relate to something like this. Currently, I have uncle, cousins, and a couple of other family members here. It just right out here, they don't understand the word I'm saying, okay? Do not speak a single word of English beyond okay. That's it, all right? Nothing. Can't understand it. Refuse to learn it. And I am talking upwards of 20 plus years for most of these people. Just total and complete refusal. And in fact, I don't even know if it's a refusal at this point. I just think it's a way to spite me.
Is this a family from Italy or is this family?
Yes. No. Yeah. So okay. my cousin is getting married. Okay. Now, obviously from Veneto. And he's marrying his fiance. She's from Bari. Okay, so you already have people who can't speak English. His fiance, even when she speaks Italian, you're going to have difficulties understanding it. Okay, so I'm driving them back from the airport. Okay, there's a huge caravan of us. All right, so again, speak zero English. A song comes on that they want the song on. Okay, it's called Kill Bill by SZA. Have you ever heard this song?
No,
by SZA.
I know who SZA is,
okay, all right, I know nothing of I'm terrible with pop culture, modern music, anything, but this song I do know. Okay, now this song comes on. And fantastic beat, instrumental, and this song comes on. And when she's singing, she's speaking rather quickly. And to my utter and total bewilderment,
they knew the words.
Sadness. Not only did they know the words, they knew the timing. They even knew the slang words within the song that most people wouldn't, even if you heard the word, you would say, why is that word in that sentence? It's a 2 minutes long song. And five of the eight, from zero to almost 2 minutes 50 seconds. Knew the entire thing, said it in perfect English, and I sat there with this glazed look over my face, unsure whether to cry, to laugh, to be happy, be upset that the, you know, these are the same people that make my 2-year-old speak, barely speaks any noises, you know. They're speaking to him in Vicentino slang, you know, like. And here they are, they're just from zero to the end of the song. Perfect. Perfect. You would think they produced the damn thing the way they were on point with the beat. I am still coping with the sight of that, the sound of that. Again, my wife is not Italian. She's not from, she goes to the country a lot. She can speak a little Italian, but again, these are the same people just to, you know, I think spite me. They have made her, they speak to her in Italian and she could,
yeah, of course.
She could get on very well.
That's a nice, easygoing atmosphere at your home then.
Total and complete refusal to learn English. And here they are. They are singing modern music. And
maybe that's your way in. Maybe you have to just start blasting the tunes in your own home. You know, you have to.
Do I have to put on?
Put on some Kendrick Lamar.
The 8 Mile soundtrack CD?
No, John, that's 2002. Come on, nobody listens
that's
to
that. That's my the, that, yeah, okay, in fairness, more. That probably is my reference point for most music, but still. Yes,
exactly.
Issue. I sat there and I'm still, I feel like I saw a ghost. I feel like I saw a miracle. Somebody turned water to wine. I for 20 years. Nothing beyond okay, nothing.
You know they should perfect. Go to English lessons to Uncle Rocco. You know, okay. You know,
hey. They are right outside this room. They, I might as well be speaking, Japanese or something. They don't, they don't know a word I am saying yet. Somehow they scissors.
That's your way in.
Human race, man,
You gotta communicate with them. You now are gonna have to start blasting.
I have to respond in Katy Perry songs or what?
No, again, wrong.
Alarming.
No, you're stuck in the. I mean, what years are we talking about here? You're talking 8 Mile, Katy Perry. What is this? 2006.
These people are older than me, so
I understand, but they follow SZA, so you gotta get on with the times. Put on some Dua Lipa, some Taylor Swift. You
know? Alarming. That's all I will say. Although they do like Noemi, which if you're a Roma supporter,
she's a Roma supporter. Yes, I see her.
Everybody loves one of my best followers, by the way. And I know she, I don't think she understands it, or maybe she does. I don't know.
But you're barely on the damn thing anymore. So like,
I have to get back onto Twitter.
You're not advertising your own.
Yeah, I am sorry. I have really fallen off with it.
Ever since Elon took over, he just sort of disappeared. You know? I remember when you worked so hard for that verified tick, and then Elon just took it away from you. Yeah. I just remember.
Yeah. Now you and I. Well, technically, we are not paying for it because of the adverts.
I just remember how hard you worked to have that verification on. You were so proud when you got it, and then I think it was like 6 months later they announced that Elon is taking over.
Oh man, I got that thing. I think in like 2015 or 16. No.
Verification.
It was either 2017 or 2018 because
writing
for Roma.
It didn't have it anymore.
Hold on, I was writing for Roma, and that's the only reason why I got it.
But it took time to apply for it. So when by the time you got it, we already.
Yeah. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's.
I just remember
I did it as a way to show people, look at how pathetic this thing is. Even some dork like myself is able to attain that thing.
It's bad. Now it's bad. So.
Yeah, now it's bad. Now it's bad. Well, you know what else is bad is the trash italiano. So people who didn't know who Mr. Corona was before this week are getting the this is full about treatment. the status quo. This is the full experience, which is great, by the way. And I just kind of have to tell this aside. One of the Roma players that I won't say friends, but get on with and have spoken to for a number of years. I think I can say this now. I'm okay. I don't know if I've ever spoken about it on the podcast. Is somebody, a wonderful fullback who left us 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Played for Inter, may or may not have been a part of the deal that included Nicolò Zaniolo. Come on, man.
Yeah,
David, spell this out. Yes, Mr. Santon.
I think he's friends with a lot of the members.
Yeah. Okay. So I've spoken to him and chatted with him for 2023. Wow, roughly a decade now. So, you know, we... No,
2013, you mean?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's been
a
decade.
You just said 2023.
I had to look at the calendar to make sure
I
was doing the math correctly in my head.
I thought you were having a stroke. I don't
know. Regardless of what you think of Davide Santon, one of the most mild-mannered,
he's a sweet guy. He's a sweet guy.
Unbothered.
I
am not laid back at all, only because with 19 children, you can't afford to do that or just having it so jaded in life.
Last week it was 17. Like that Irish family in Monty Python, you know, where the kids are just dropping out of the mother when she's...
Yeah, scoping. No, but I am happy, though, because the one that is coming... instead of doing a gender reveal where I set we put all 2 meters of myself into a cannon and I come out in a colored shirt or something and then set some large forest on fire, we are having a girl. So I am ecstatic because the reason my hair started to gray in recent years are because of the boys we've had recently. So now it's I think we're at 13 girls and 22 boys.
Well, you need another boy because you need some to name somebody after me, and I've been doing so long that
but in all seriousness, the fact that my good friend Davide got pulled into this story somehow by Mr. Corona,
he was just, you know, I mean, he said something to the effect of, I got my information from the uncle of a former Inter player who was friends with Balotelli. It's the media that put the two and two together.
But him saying that is what brought him into it.
And then
I told him,
said the funniest thing to. He said,
yeah, he said, I haven't talked to Balotelli in.
No. He also said, my uncle doesn't deal with that. He cultivates muscles, like muscles, like seafood, he has his own private business of selling of cultivating muscles. You know, that was the explanation that he gave. Like just the weirdest. He could have said, no, my uncle has nothing to do with Betty.
Well, that's why it's funny, because he would give a literal explanation of it because he's so mild-mannered. But, okay, you know, in my years of doing this, the just appalling and unsavory behavior, man, from some of these guys, from players from years ago, even currently, okay? Davide Santon, the most controversial thing he would do,
get injured. That's it.
We'll get injured and maybe have white wine at the wrong moment with the incorrect pasta or something. Like that is the sum total of his controversial statements, actions. The most mild-mannered, and I mean this as a compliment because he does speak English. Boring guy. I mean, beyond the fact he plays football, very little is like, oh, wow, interest. He doesn't have that. For him to get pulled into this blows my mind. Blows my mind. And mind you, this is also after after Corona throws out these names. I am convinced what is happening is he has a dartboard just hanging in his office with the faces of hundreds of players. And he's just throwing a name at the dartboard and saying, oh, yeah, he's involved in the scandal, too. We warned people about this on the previous episode. And we just have to say again, this guy is nuts. I don't know what else to say.
Fraud. I mean, he's a fraud. He's a fraud looking to make a name
for himself.
Almost
50 years old. First off, if I dress like that in 50 years old, every single person listening to this, you have not only my permission, my encouragement, as the light goes off, to not only make fun of me.
Yeah. To shoot you on
site. I want you to harm me.
Put you down. Down.
Well, no, hold on. YouTube will probably take that down.
No.
Yeah.
That's the
you have my friendly permission to impose whatever form of justice to set me straight you see fit.
Right.
If I dress like... There's just something very odd about a man being almost 50 years of age and having the fake bronzer, the ill-fitting shirts,
the 45
the pants that look like performance like his. You know, man.
Unfortunately, he's got a platform, and he got paid by public television around $30 million in total for the recent appearances. So for each time he went on air over these last few days to go out there and make these incredible revelations about what goes on behind the scenes in Italian football, he's got paid a total of 30 million euros.
Okay. And for every player that has been incorrectly accused in this, there is a word that if you, in fact, doesn't our friend Mr. Violi have a song about this specifically, about the suing people? For some reason in this country, okay, we always say, and you always read the interviews about I'm suing, I'm going to sue, I'm going to sue, I'm going to sue. Maybe that's just in every country, but it seems it happens a lot more often here. Nobody ever does anything. It never happens. I want every
single... Now, in this case, he's playing with fire.
Listen, no. Because my complaints with this, and this is why I no longer pay for... to be part of the association of there's a credential you have to carry in Italian. Just a document that says you're part of this journalist group.
The brother group of the journalists.
Yeah. So after Mr. Violi, you know, threatened to cut off my head and kill, you know, maim my family, and I reported it to them and they did nothing. I just said, okay, you know, probably not worth the 200 euros I'm paying every year to be involved in this. But anyway, I want every single footballer who has been wrongly accused, I want you to go through with any lawsuit, any pursuit of the law that you see fit. I want your agents to sue him to oblivion. And I want every single television outlet that gave this guy their time, their attention, as you just said, the amount that he made, I want them named, I want them shamed, and I want them to lose subscribers.
At the end of the day, that's Italy. So, but it's funny because you know, because he's made, you know, the names that he mentioned, the ones that found any sort of credibility were the ones that were already in the files of the Italian authorities.
Already knew.
So the ones that he revealed had, like, he himself made the names, so far have come up empty, like the
and
ones
the number, by the way. It's not as if he said this is a small, very small circle of players involved.
Probably it's the truth. But so far, what he's doing is just waving his stick around, pointing to everybody and anybody. And to me, the final nail in the coffin for his credibility was when he went out of his way to make this huge announcement about a Roma player also involved in another type of betting. And then he comes up with an undercover video of Serdar Azmoun, who he himself admitted multiple times in numerous interviews. There have been articles about it. There have been that he owns horses, that he's a big fan of horses, that he loves races, and that he's looking to have more horses also in Rome in his adventure. And
he's on television saying this numerous times.
And Corona is out there, you know, releasing this as if he were to release, I don't know, the location of El Chapo. A Roma player involved in serious stuff, and then Serdar Azmoun, and then he says wrongly who got paid $12 million to come to. No, true, he came on loan, so he came on a free with the option to buy. So that's the main. Correct. That's already one down for Corona, and then he's like he is interested in horses. And that's probably the only reason why he came to Roma, is to deal in horses, where it's an open news for everybody that can access it online that Serdar Azmoun's passion for horses dates back to before he even went to Germany. So that's when he loses credibility. Then he goes out of his way, mentions these three names, El Shaarawy, Gatti, and Casale. The same day, El Shaarawy's agents declare they're going to sue him. Casale's agents say they're going to sue him. And the prosecutor's office in Turin says there is no evidence found whatsoever of their involvement. Now, does that mean that the only players involved in this betting scandal are Fagioli, Zaniolo, and Sandro Tonali, the ones who are on their way to be punished? Well, Fagioli has already been punished. We'll see what it's in store for Tonali and Zaniolo. No, obviously there is more people involved, but this is the thing. If the justice in Italy has to be delivered by guys that just wake up one morning and say, you know what, I'm going to call out this person, that person, I'm going to make millions along the way, then honestly, you know, what's the point? So,
you know how wrong you have to be to get someone within the Italian legal framework to put out an official statement with something so direct and to the point. I mean, these people, they are afraid to even say the sky is blue.
You know, for me, the it doesn't mean again that that this is not true, that the scandal is, you know, it's just three guys, three friends hanging out. And no, obviously there's more to it than that. But at some point, it's also important, like, who the messenger is, you know, and what are his or her interests, matters. You know? I mean, it's for someone like Corona, I will never believe that someone like Corona willingly, you know, because he's so concerned about gambling addiction that he goes out of his way to try and help the poor young people in this Italian football league to get them out of trouble. Like, he makes it out to believe that that's what he even said. Part of my earnings from these TV appearances are going to go to organizations that work towards improving the condition of gambling addicts, you know, of people suffering from gambling addiction. I'm like, man, like, you know, that's enough. I've seen enough. I can't read that name anymore. I don't want to talk about it. So we better move on to something else.
I can't
imagine somebody listening to us from, I don't know, Denver, Colorado, or Lagos, Nigeria, and thinking to themselves, what the hell are these two white guys talking about? You know, like, get on with
Corona,
it.
Corona, what does that mean?
Roma, is because that beer? Corona, I don't know who that is. Is that a beer or something? I don't know.
Well, before we get to Roma coming back and they returning to action against Monza, one thing that is coming, or I should say, this is coming from the agency of Jose Mourinho. I've talked about it before. Just very quick, I will keep this very brief. And we all know Jose Mourinho in his final season of his contract, very much up in the air. You kind of remain adamant that this is his last season. Roma, they are remaining fairly quiet on it. But from his agency, if it's not George Mensch who does, if it's not him that you talk to, there's only one other guy that will divulge or reveal some things. He's a former player, very high up in the agency. And spoke to him late last night. They even remain very uncertain where this is going to go. But he did say they want to have some clarity before the new year. Some clarity before the new year. So that is fast approaching. I know, again, you have been fairly strong in your belief this is going to be his last season.
My belief is that it depends on a lot of things that you can't really predict in October. So, I mean, from both sides, obviously, you need reassurances. Roma need reassurances. Mourinho needs reassurances. It's clear as day that a lot of things are at stake this season. And a lot of it depends on whether the team is able to finally qualify to the Champions League. That's, I think, goes both ways.
Yes. No, I agree. The problem is they need to see, this is what he was saying, okay? They need to see a signal from the Friedkins, which is obviously understandable because they are not saying anything. Dan Friedkin is not going to come out and give
I love these articles that say silence from the Friedkins.
Yeah, listen.
That's been their modus operandi since they moved in 3 years ago. Like, that's nothing new. It's like saying water is wet. Well, that's the way the water is. It's wet. So the Friedkins are silent because they don't know how to be any other way.
The Friedkins are silent. Everybody in the organization is silent. There is a reason. I had to contact during the entire sale process from Palotta to Friedkin. Why I had to contact people who work at the private airport where this guy leaves one of his jets in California. Like, you don't understand. And people, it's easy to see these headlines like in Italian newspapers where it's like, Friedkin remaining silent on the Casa Mourinho. No sign from Ryan Friedkin. He hasn't said anything. He hasn't spoken to Jose Mourinho. They don't speak to anybody. In fact, unless I saw them at the matches together, I would be hard-pressed to even believe that Ryan Friedkin talks to his own father. You know? They don't say anything to anybody. To anybody. The entire time from Palotta to Friedkin, I got information from Friedkin, at least one person on the Palotta side, another one person. That's it. Two people who were able to confirm things, but still, do you know how many people work within the Friedkin group? We are talking thousands of people. Now, obviously, higher ups, those of which have influential positions are obviously much lower. They're all like this. Impossible to find anything. So when you read something like you just said, you know, total silence, Friedkin in silenzio on Jose Mourinho, they've been in silence on everything. And it's 2023. It's been 3 years now. Go find me how many interviews they have done to any Italian outlet, website, video, anything. You won't find one. The only interview they've done are to the website. That's it. Or when a player, somebody is added to the, you know, new CEO, Thiago Pinto. Other than that, no interview, zero. You won't find one. You will not find one. So no. Friedkin in silence. Yeah. They've been in silence 3 years. Why does that even require part of the headline? Because that's the thing. It's the salaciousness, obviously, that matters most for a lot of these places. And that's the part where I resent a lot of this stuff because it's never really about the accuracy. It's about the salaciousness of it all. Listen, they need to get this figured out because, in my opinion, the lack of clarity, the closer you get to the end of his contract, the more uncomfortable is going to get into the lead up of that. So I think we would all agree on that. I just think, again, I want Jose Mourinho to stay. I've been very adamant on my admiration for the guy. I hope they work something out. I hope they find a solution. Mourinho's people, they seem to want a solution at the least. They're waiting on Roma to give some sort of signal. That's one of those Italian phrases. I don't even know what that would mean in this case. What kind of, do you want Ryan Friedkin to hold a banner at the next match when he's sitting in the stand? I don't know what that means. We will see. That's what they told me. So now I'm telling you. In fact, I didn't even write it up on the website yet. I will do it later today. But they want to get it figured out before going into the new year. So we will see. Having said that, okay, Roma, they're back. Monza. Win. That's it. That's my take. Goodbye. What else are we supposed to say? What else are we supposed to say?
Well,
still win, no Smalling. That's probably the only thing that terrifies me coming necessary. Into this.
Yeah, when by any means necessary, you're not going to have Chris Smalling who is still dealing with this tendonitis thing, and that's really bothering me because we're not talking about a young player. We're talking about an aging player yes. who now has developed a chronic pain, and that's never good. So, and he's had injuries in the past that have kept him sidelined for a long, long time. We saw that yes. in the second season at Roma, and we're seeing it again now. This is a problem. Diego Llorente also seems to be out for the time being. Renato Sanchez also out. Paulo Dybala seems to be on his way to recover for Inter. Lorenzo Pellegrini seems to be out until the Derby. So you really have to make do with what you have. And I think at least for considering the reputation of these international breaks, this one has been particularly good for Roma. You even had Stefano Sciarawi get some minutes for Italy, but you had Romelu Lukaku continue to score for Belgium. Incredible.
Yes.
You had Sardar Azmoun score for Iran. You had Houssem Aouar play and score for Algeria. You had Evan Dika continue to start for the Ivory Coast. So that's, it's a big positive that you had these players playing and also performing and delivering. So everybody... at least in theory, should be coming in sharp, and you need everybody. That's my takeaway. You need everybody, and everybody still needs to show the same hunger they showed in order to turn that ship around, and they did slightly. So now we have to be heading in the right direction. We have the compass out. We're checking the direction that we are steering in, and we have to watch out not to get sidetracked, not to go back to the same old Roma that we saw before. There has to be some continuous development within the team, no matter the absences. So I want to see Andrea Belotti continue to deliver on that same note as he'd been delivering right up until the international break. I yes. hope to see Leonardo Spinazzola, who took the time to work on himself during this international break after not being called up by Italy. I want to see Riccardo continue to be a point of reference for Mourinho on the right flank. I want consistency, like I always do. I want consistency because international breaks can very often disrupt any sort of flow that you develop. So there has to be consistency in every facet of our game. I assume Cristante is once again going to play in the defense because of Chris Absolutely. Smalling and Diego Llorente's absence. We'll see how that goes. It's just for me, the thinking as we head into this stretch of games and as we prepare for big matches against Inter, we got Lazio coming in.
Derby, yes.
To really think about the fact that... that those are the games where you have to show that you're capable of it, that you can hang on, that you can compete with the top dogs. And in order to do that, you need to get the smaller games right first. So exactly, you got Monza, not a walk in the park, and just the same way as Slavia Praga is not a walk in the park where you still have a lot at stake because you want to finish first in the Europa League group. So I think that's a good warm-up. for what awaits you against Inter. So for me, this match that we have this weekend so early on, it's an afternoon fixture. Well, really, it's a morning fixture almost. It has to go into the same way as Inter. Like the importance has to be that. It has to be the same importance. It has to have the same weight. And the performance must be, I want to say, very similar, because the same things are at stake. It's just that the focus, the media attention will be different, but winning against Monza is just as essential as winning against Inter is. We are looking at a Roma team that is desperate for constant improvement, you know, like the fact that you have to, at some point in time during the season, you must come to the conclusion that there is no taking steps back. We've been doing it way too long. We've been doing one step forward, two steps back. This cannot be the modus operandi of this team going forward. It has to be going forward all the way. No stopping, no slowing down. Obviously, there will be games where it will be harder to get a result, but that's just the way it is. And Roma are in no position to be able to afford even a minor slip at this moment. It is all for the taking, and in my mind, it's very much possible. You know, like, it's wide open. Serie A this season is wide open for everybody. So why shouldn't it be wide open for Roma?
100%. I couldn't have put it any better. I mean, to be frank, my biggest concern is, and you just touched upon it, I believe this is the first, I hate this kickoff time, the early afternoon.
Oh, yeah? It's very weird. I like it, but historically, it's been bad for us.
Oh, historically, it's been terrible for Roma. I mean, and by the way, I also feel bad. A lot of our patrons, like the ones in Australia, I never know what the time differences are, but I know, like, these, like this time, it's probably better for them, right?
It is right before going to sleep, so either...
Yeah, so I'm happy for them. I'm happy for them because, man, you have to love Roma to be willing. I mean, these guys are, you know, 1, 2, 3 in the morning to watch.
Oh, they wake up at 5 in the morning on a work day. You know? Like,
to watch a match against Chievo Verona. It's just mind-blowing to me. But I completely agree with what you just said. I want to see them come out beyond the starting time. My biggest concern is the intensity, the energy, the effort thing.
Urgency.
I want to see exactly what we saw against Cagliari. Pick up where you left off, because the taste of what happened in Genova is still kind of lingering in a lot of our mouths. The fact that that was such a low and poor performance on top of just minimal effort, it leaves you wondering, okay, well, can they do what they did against Cagliari all the time? And that's what they need to do. That's my biggest concern. Consistency, consistency, consistency. As you just said, that's what we need to see. Okay, we will leave it there. We will be back after the weekend. We will be back after Roma faced Monza. So until then, ciao.
Ciao.